Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. You're tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and the globe at WCUW.org.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by St. Croix Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. Massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaction. Online at massagestcroix.com.
Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. In this program, we're joined by Dr. Casey Taft, the co-owner of Vegan Publishers in Danvers, Massachusetts. Dr. Taft is also an author, and he is a psychiatry professor at the Boston University School of Medicine. After the break, we'll be joined by Karen Bacon, a lawyer and founder of Positive Change for Animals, and Sharon Santello, who is also a volunteer for Positive Change for Animals, and she is also a yoga teacher and a holistic health coach. They are co-organizers of the upcoming Vegan Ice Cream Social, being held at the Bigelow Free Public Library in Clinton, Massachusetts. And now we'll continue our program with Dr. Casey Taft. Thank you, Dr. Taft. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thanks for having me.
I have to tell you, I really enjoyed reading your book, Millennial Vegan. Thank you for writing it.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I wrote the book originally for younger vegans, with younger vegans in mind, but I found that when I go out and give talks about it, when I talk to people about the book and what's in the book, that there's a lot in there that I think kind of is useful or appeals to people of all ages. And sometimes it's folks who are no longer millennials who actually get into it the most when I talk about this.
Yes.
So it's really cool.
Yes. Let's start with Millennial Vegan, tips for navigating relationships, wellness, and everyday life as a young animal advocate. And I also love the photo on your cover, also with your book, Motivational Methods for Vegan Advocacy. I really love those colors in that door.
Yeah, I love that too. So a very talented illustrator named Kara Maria Shunk did the cover for Motivational Methods for Vegan Advocacy. And when we go to VegFest or we table at different events, when people walk up to our table, they walk right up to that book. And there is something about it that draws people in. It's like it's almost like the door draws people to it. So it is pretty cool to see that a book cover actually makes a pretty big difference when you're out there displaying them.
Yes. And also with Millennial Vegan, with the earth, that's as beautiful as well. So let's start talking about Millennial Vegan. And again, I have to say, I really enjoyed every chapter. I reread many paragraphs, and beautiful, beautiful. I would like to hear some more words about assertive vegan communication.
Sure. Yeah, so that is something that I think doesn't really only apply to millennials and doesn't even only apply to animal advocates. I think that's something that applies to all of us in all areas of our lives and our relationships. I think being assertive is one of the key areas of communication that's just so important. And so I'm a psychologist, and when I work with couples, I work with families, when I work with perpetrators of violence, assertiveness is the one thing that I go over again and again and again, because I think it's so important to find that middle road between holding in our feelings and not telling other people what's going on with us, or going to the other extreme where we express our feelings more aggressively. I talk in the book about being assertive, and it's something that I teach in my day job as a psychologist too, and I try to live in my own life, that we can express how we feel in clear ways where we're respecting the other person by not putting them down, but we're also respecting ourselves because we're not holding in our feelings. We're not stuffing our feelings and keeping whatever it is that we're feeling away from other people.
And that leads into challenges communicating with loved ones.
Right. Yeah, and that's something that, you know, I myself have struggled with, and, you know, not necessarily only during the millennial years either. It doesn't always get easier as you get older as well. It certainly applies for a lot of young vegans I hear from. So one of the reasons I wrote the book in the first place is because I, as an admin of our vegan publisher's Facebook page, I have received many, many messages from younger vegans who were asking for help and how to deal with family members, loved ones, or others whose responses to them being vegan ranged from, you know, discomfort to outright abuse. So I hear from a lot of younger vegans, and my heart really goes out to them because they're really struggling to communicate with family members about their veganism. In some instances, they describe situations in which their family members are more or less kind of forcing them to eat animals, even though it's against their ethical beliefs. And many of them want to go vegan, but their family members are not supportive of that. For some of them, they actually describe bullying and more abusive kind of behaviors by loved ones that they're having to deal with. And in some cases, really, families are torn apart. And some might not, especially those who aren't vegan, may not realize the impact that this can have. But I've heard many, many instances of families who really were torn apart because one person went vegan, the other folks were not understanding about it. Maybe they bullied them, and or else they didn't understand how important it was to that person, their feelings about animals and the harm we do to non-human animals, and how passionately they want to try to end the harm we do to animals. And it really can have devastating impacts on the family.
I'd like to discuss the chapter on trauma in animal advocacy.
Yeah, so trauma is in my day job as a psychologist, that is what one of the things that I study, and I work with trauma-exposed populations, folks who have PTSD, people who are often very violent, who, you know, who have traumatic histories. And I think it's really relevant in the animal advocacy world as well, because so many of us became animal advocates in the first place because we were exposed to trauma and abuse, maybe growing up or in other places. And at some point, you know, we made a decision that we were going to do what we could to try to prevent trauma and needless violence towards others. And also, just by virtue of being animal advocates, being aware of the harm we do to non-human animals, you really see trauma and violence everywhere you look. I mean, almost any restaurant you go to, you're seeing the products of needless trauma and violence, you know, dead bodies and, you know, animal flesh. And the more aware you become of all the harm that we inflict upon animals, the more you see it. And for a lot of folks, it really does feel traumatic to them. It's really difficult for them to see this needless violence all around them on animals who, you know, who they may love or feel really passionately about. Also, I think for some who really care deeply about animals, to then witness those who they care about, those who they love, you know, directly contributing to this harm, can also feel really difficult for them. So I think for a lot of animal advocates, they do experience this as trauma, and I think it's helpful for us to have compassion and empathy, understanding for them, and be supportive of other advocates who are really kind of carrying all this trauma.
And I found that to be one of your very helpful tips in Millennial Vegan, to find a supportive community.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's really important, where we see that there's other people who are like-minded in their concern for non-human animals. And I think it's important to have that community online or wherever it is we can develop that. I think that's really critical, to feel like we're not alone and that others are experiencing the same things that we are.
Thank you. I'm really happy to see that you spoke at the recent VegFest. Was that in Asheville, North Carolina?
Yeah, the Asheville. I guess it was a vegan fest, which is awesome. I like it when they call themselves vegan fests and not just veg fests.
Me too.
I think it was great. And there were so many young animal advocates there, which was really good to see. You know, the millennial generation is disproportionately likely to be vegan relative to other population, other cohorts. I think it's something in the area of 40% of all vegans are in the millennial ages. So it's pretty awesome that this really is taking hold among younger vegans, which gives me some hope for the future.
Yes, for sure. And also with vegan publishers, I know there's many, many books now. And what are some of the other more recent books besides Millennial Vegan?
We just finished a crowdfunding campaign, and the book will be out probably in a month or two for That's Not My Mama's Milk, which we're really excited about. This is what I think is the first vegan-themed board book for the youngest kids that focuses on the issue of animal milk and dairy and how the milk of other animals doesn't belong to us. So I think that's such a simple but important message that we want to get out there and support vegan families. So we're really excited about that book. The book Skinny on Soy has come out fairly recently, and that's all about the misinformation campaign that's out there against soy, and it provides more corrective medical information based on many, many interviews with all the medical experts on the issue of soy. So I think that's a really important book as well. Farm to Fable, we put out, I guess it's now been several months back, written by Robert Grillo. That's all about how all of our societal institutions put out these messages about that promote and support the harm we do to non-human animals. So it's sort of lifting the veil on all of the fictions about our use of animals, you know, some of which are directly promoted through advertising by the animal agriculture industries, and others which are just sort of become a part of our culture. So I think that's also a really important book. So those are just a few that, you know, that have recently come out that we're excited about. We have many more that we're working on that we're also really, really thrilled to be publishing.
We're listening to Dr. Casey Taft, a psychologist, and Dr. Taft is also the co-owner of Vegan Publishers in Danvers, Massachusetts. He is the author of Millennial Vegan. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, and we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Taft. Thank you. I think many people don't understand the massive violence that's happening of what we as an entire culture are doing to animals in many facets, whether it's the food or entertainment or research, but especially I'd like to just focus on the food. So I think some family members and friends don't understand the passion of the animal advocate because they don't see the violence. And I think some may say that they have an idea about it in the, you know, flesh industry, but they're like, what's wrong with milk and eggs? And mm-hmm. So can you suggest any ways for them to learn also about that massive violence so they don't think the young animal advocate is just making up these stories?
Yeah, I mean, that's really hard because really the information is out there. And I think at this point that we need to be consciously making an effort to not be aware of the harm that we're doing, because the information's all out there. All of us vegans would love for nothing more than for our family members to let us talk to them and show them, and, you know, all these resources. And there's all kinds of, you know, it's a simple Google search and you can really understand what's going on. But I think at some level, especially when people are still consuming animals, this sort of gets in the way of them kind of letting that kind of guard down and really to have that awareness. Because when people are actively contributing to the harm of non-human animals, at some level, they don't really want to know what they're doing. So I think it's a lot harder to reach people. You know, if you have somebody who is, you know, not at all ready to talk about the harm we do to animals, and they're kind of just like making bacon jokes left and right and everything, you know, providing them recipes, you know, vegan recipes isn't going to do any good. It's like we have to provide very basic information about that counter some of the myths of our use of non-human animals. And that's just an example that we really have to figure out where they are and try to meet them there and get them to that next level. And I think that also holds true for awareness, because the problem to me isn't that the information isn't out there, because the information is everywhere. The problem is that people aren't letting it in. And I think it's harder for people to let that awareness in and to let the animals into their consciousness when they're directly contributing to their harm.
We're listening to Dr. Casey Taft, a psychiatry professor at the Boston University School of Medicine, and he is also the co-owner of Vegan Publishers. Vegan Publishers is located in Danvers, Massachusetts. Dr. Taft is also the author of Millennial Vegan. You tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and worldwide at WCUW.org. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow, and now we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Taft.
How about the religious and educational system of sharing this information, which I think when that's shared in those two avenues, that's going to help create a big shift?
Yeah, it certainly would. It's a tall order given how harm to animals is so ingrained in all of our major institutions, including our schools, including the major religions. So that is a tall order, but certainly I think that would be huge. And I have seen some progress in those areas. There are more schools popping up who have plant-based menus, and I've been able to speak with some folks who are responsible for trying to usher this into schools. So that's really great. And there are folks who are trying to bring the message of animal rights to various religions. I know there's a lot of folks, you know, such as Will Tuttle, who I know you know well, and others who are trying to expand Buddhism, for example, to really include teachings about, you know, non-human animals and to be more inclusive in that way. And we're actually working with Will Tuttle on a book, which will be a collection of essays about veganism and Buddhism, which we're really excited about. I do think once the message of animal rights is able to kind of penetrate all these other institutions, that's when we're really going to start to see bigger change. I think we need to help create change on the individual level in our daily interactions with folks, but we also really need it on an institutional level. We need our major institutions to change. We need great political change if we're going to do something about the problem of the harm we do to animals.
Thank you. And the Millennial Vegan helps all vegans and everyone to live harmoniously. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation, Dr. Taft.
It's always a pleasure. I always enjoy talking to you, Marlene.
Thank you.
This concludes our interview with Dr. Casey Taft, co-owner of Vegan Publishers. He co-owns Vegan Publishers with his wife, Kristen Mailer. Dr. Taft is also a psychiatry professor at the Boston University School of Medicine, specializing in PTSD, in military, and also domestic violence prevention on a national and international successful program. And now we're moving on to our interview with Karen Bacon and Sharon Santello. They're joining us here in the WCUW studios, 910 Main Street, Worcester, Massachusetts. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow, and you're tuned in to 91.3 FM and worldwide at WCUW.org. Sharon and Karen are hosting a vegan ice cream social at the Bigelow Free Public Library in Clinton, Massachusetts, and we'll hear all about that. And we have Karen Bacon from Clinton, and we have Sharon Santello from Berlin. Thank you, Karen, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks, Marlene.
Karen, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I run a group called Positive Change for Animals out of Clinton. We started with a meetup group, and basically our goal is to host social events and activities that expose people to animal issues and also ways of changing things for animals in very positive ways. So I actually have a background as a lawyer. I did go to Northeastern University School of Law. My focus was definitely animal rights, actually, ever since I was in college. But I found over time that there were other ways in which to accomplish some of these goals. And I've worked with some of the other lawyers in animal rights, but I feel that it's really important to have social contact and to bring other people in to create a social base that helps solidify the future for the law to change, because the law doesn't change very well unless you have that.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Sharon. I'd love to hear a little bit about you as well.
Thanks, Marlene. So I work with Karen and her group, Positive Change for Animals. My professional career is with people with developmental disabilities, and I've been doing that for more than 20 years. In 2003, I went vegetarian, and most recently, vegan for a little over a year. But I do have a degree from Worcester State in health education, and I'm also a yoga teacher, so it kind of fits right in. So I love to volunteer with Karen because I like that philosophy. I think it works well.
Yes. We've seen it in some of our events so far, you know, where they had no idea. Some of them just have no idea that these kind of Gardein products exist or non-dairy ice cream or anything like that.
Yes.
Right.
And that's really important. Yeah. And I'm also happy, Sharon, that you are a holistic health coach.
I am. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah.
So my philosophy is people think what's in it for them, you know, and so I try to help them understand that a vegan way of eating is so helpful.
So let's hear about this vegan ice cream social. And I saw your post that you've been making the homemade vegan ice cream.
Yes, I do. I have a lot of fun actually with food, and I veganize all kinds of things. And ice cream was one of my more recent quests. You know, I want to show people how good it can be. So I'll be serving a whole bunch of that next week at the ice cream social.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah, so. I love the vegan ice cream, all the different brands.
Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of flavors. I have like mint chocolate chip, coconut, banana, strawberry, I mean, you name it. Last night I actually made chocolate, what's called reverse chip, which was one of my favorites as a kid when I used to go to ice cream, you know, places where it's a chocolate base with white vegan chips. So, yeah. So it's fun.
Great. And it helps that it's free.
And it's free.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So let's hear more details about this. Where it is, when.
Okay. The social is Wednesday, June 28th, between 5 and 7:45 p.m. at the Bigelow Free Public Library in Clinton. And that's at 54 Walnut Street. And like I said, yeah, it's free. It's also rain or shine. So if the weather's good, which we hope it will be, we'll do it outside in front. If not, we'll do it in the community center in the basement.
This is great.
Yep, yep.
Oh.
And the library is being supportive of us. They're giving us actually some of the paper products and things because their theme for this month is making the world a better place. And
wow.
So they went a little extra mile there and were willing to include us in that, which I think was great.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. Yep.
That's really remarkable.
Yeah, they've been very helpful to us, and they've been letting us have meetups there and other events. We had like a meet and greet for rescued chickens and bunnies in April, and it was quite good.
Wow.
Yeah.
A big shout out to the Bigelow Free Public Library in Clinton.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Clinton, we're very thankful.
Clinton, Massachusetts.
Right.
Yeah, this is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And then when people come and they, you know, see us and eat and try new things, mm-hmm. we always have literature there mm-hmm. to help them, you know, yep. Vegan 101.
So we're looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll have good weather. And we did have this last year at the Bigelow Free Public Library in August, and that was very successful. But they wanted to do it a little earlier this year. I think a lot of ice cream socials are around this time, typically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, many people are just not aware.
No, they're not.
Due
it's
to our culture.
Yes,
true.
The indoctrination in the school system and the religious system, who's all ignoring the vegan evolution revolution. And I see it as an evolution revolution.
Right.
It definitely is. And, we have a friend. Her name is Veronica Ramos, and she runs a group called Evolving Together, and that really is what it is.
Yeah.
Because if you don't include and you can't find ways to do that, you lose leverage. That's my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I do try to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really happy that you're doing it out in the community,
yep.
right there outside the library or inside the library if it's raining,
yep.
because there is a lot of information mm-hmm. online, but if you're not going to that, you don't hear it, like the Mothers Against Dairy, Milk Hurts, Be Fair, Be Vegan. There's mm-hmm. a lot of great information out there of why non-dairy ice cream is very, very important.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of evidence that dairy causes a lot of problems.
Right.
It's not good for you.
I'm thrilled when I come across vegan holistic health coaches and vegan yoga instructors.
Well, it's funny, actually. The program that I went through was not very kind. We studied lots of different diets, but they weren't very supportive of the vegan diet, which is unfortunate. But I found lots of good role models, T. Colin Campbell, Dr. Neil Bernard. Mm-hmm. There are lots of good mentors out there.
Yeah.
How can we deny the facts?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, plant-based diet is... Mm-hmm. is where it's at. Americans are the high cholesterol, the high blood pressure. I mean, I see it in my field. We really try to feed the individuals in group settings, you know, very well, a very high quality diet. And they're still, you know, high hyperlipidemia, high cholesterol. Mm-hmm. It's the standard mm-hmm. American diet. We
yes.
know.
You know, I like to have coupons at my events for different things so they can go and try a Guardian product or they can try a So Delicious product, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I'm in contact with vegan activists around the world, mm-hmm. and they're all telling me in any country they're in mm-hmm. that they're finding the vegan products, whether it's the vegan meats or the vegan ice cream or the vegan cheese or the vegan milk, any of them, mm-hmm. vegan sour cream, vegan whipped cream.
It's much
vegan
more prolific.
Yogurt. Yeah, that... It's available even in small towns and small grocery stores.
It is increasingly available. It really, it's amazing. And
you can find anything.
And there's a lot of, I think, food science developing around it. I think it's So Delicious that made the coconut-based whipped cream that's a vegan whipped cream.
Yes.
It's very, very good. It comes like in almost like a Cool Whip tub.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely delicious.
Are you going to have that vegan whipped cream at the social?
I probably will have that, yes, actually. Last year I had all kinds of toppings.
All
that's
right.
true, yes. So, yes, I will aim for that.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
great.
Doing good, yeah. We hope that, you know, any vegans out there, even if they can't come, if they can encourage someone who's non-vegan to come, you know, or get somebody who's non-vegan there, that would be a great way to just expose
right.
people. Let's just try this stuff. Let's see what it's like. Can it be good?
It's
yes.
happening. It's free.
It's free.
Yes.
You know?
And how noble of you to do this volunteer work that is uplifting the life and consciousness on this planet for everyone, all animals, not just mm-hmm. the humankind.
Right. Yes. We do hope to do that.
Yes.
So there's a lot you can do with plants. I think that's the bottom line, more than people think.
Well, I think this is fabulous. Positive change for animals, volunteering, community events for the public, free.
Yes.
Really wonderful.
Yeah, we hope people will come out and maybe even get some of their non-vegan friends to come.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Okay, we're joined by Karen Bacon and Sharon Santello, who are the co-organizers of the Vegan Ice Cream Social happening on Wednesday, June 28th in Central Massachusetts in Clinton at the Bigelow Free Public Library from 5 to...
7:45.
Yes. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week for the interview with Jordan Brown Fenton in Virginia. Jordan is a volunteer with the Humane Party, America's first vegan political party, as we celebrate Independence Day. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by St. Croix Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. Massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaction. Online at massagestcroix.com.
Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.